RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello, listener. Welcome to English Bulletin program of a Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesia Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today, listener. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo visits Police Academy in Semarang. Indonesian Finance Minister Sri Mulyani and a banker Julia Goh to be speakers at U.S.-Indonesia Women CEO Summit. Al-Azhar University graduates called to spread moderate Islam. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo visited the campus of the Police Academy in Semarang Monday to offer directives to students. The visit was Jokowi's first agenda while on a working visit to Central Java, Bey Mahmudin, spokesman of the president, revealed. President Joko Widodo said a huge global change has taken place in the field of information technology. To adapt to the change, everyone has to be innovative and not become trapped in a monotonous routine, he added. While in Semarang, he was also scheduled to distribute Smart Indonesian Card and Family of Hope Program Card, as well as land certificates to the public in the Simpang Lima area, Semarang City. The president arrived in Semarang at midnight after paying a work visit to East Java Province. While in Sumenep Madura Island, East Java Province on Sunday, he requested that the runway of Trunojoyo Airport be extended again to accommodate large-bodied aircraft. Indonesian Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati, along with Julia Goh, one of the world's notable bankers born in Surabaya, will be the speakers of the U.S.-Indonesia Women's CEO Summit, scheduled in Washington, D.C. on October 11. This information was revealed in an official written statement received by Antara News Agency on Sunday, October 8. Hosted by the U.S.-Indonesian Chamber of Commerce, the conference will feature some senior women executives from the private and public sectors of both countries. The organizers stated that the speakers, comprising expert and high-ranking officials, will share their experiences and expertise with the audience. The event will showcase the success stories of these figures, as well as their plans for the future. The American Banker magazine has named Goh from Surabaya, East Java Province, as one of the 25 most powerful women in the banking sector. In her written statement, Goh expressed optimism that her contribution during the summit would inspire future generations and help to improve the economy sector in Indonesia. 260 Al-Azhar University students from 10 countries, including 148 Indonesian students, were graduated at Azhar Convention Center, Cairo, on Sunday, October 8. They consisted of graduates and postgraduates. After attending the graduation ceremony of Al-Azhar University, Ambassador of the Republic of Indonesia in Cairo, Helmi Fauzi, expressed hope that the Indonesian graduates on their return to Indonesia could develop Al-Azhar concept to develop Islam as a moderate religion that upholds values of compassion and peace. Helmi Fauzi also expects, with the knowledge of religion, the graduates of Al-Azhar University could contribute to development in Indonesia. Meanwhile, two of the six recipients of cum laude predicate at the graduation class of 2017 are undergraduate and postgraduate students from Indonesia.
Dan diharapkan ketika mereka kembali ke Indonesia, mereka bisa
The graduates are expected to develop the Al-Azhar concepts after. The concept is Islam as religion that upholds values of compassion, peace and respect from humanity. We hope that they could also spread the moderate Islam that is taught in Al-Azhar.
Yang moderat.
Representing the rector of Al-Azhar University, Muhammad Mahmud Abu Hashim, on the occasion said, the Indonesian graduates are not only expected to contribute to the spread of moderate Islam in their country, they are also expected to do the same to the neighboring countries. According to him, the graduates of Al-Azhar should be able to show the world that Islam is a religion of peace and compassion. Indonesian state-owned Angkasa Pura II is building infrastructure projects to support the Improvement Runway Capacity or IRC 86 agenda at Soekarno-Hatta International Airport. For said purpose, the company is allocating a budget of 625 billion rupiah. Angkasa Pura II President Director Muhammad Awaluddin recently said in Jakarta, there are 12 infrastructure projects that support the IRC 86 program. The projects include the expansion of taxiway and lanes connecting the runway with the taxiway. Taxiways will also be added, including rapid exit taxiways that can shorten the travel time between the runway and the taxiway. He said that the infrastructure development will increase the capacity of the airport to existing runways, thus able to accommodate 86 flights per hour. This is an increase from the current condition where it can take in 76 flights per hour. He targets the IRC 86 program to be realized in the first quarter of 2018. Soekarno-Hatta Airport traffic currently reaches 1,300 flights per day. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesia was targeting to reach semi-final in Badminton World Federation BWF Junior Championship 2017. That was stated by Indonesian team manager Susi Susanti in a press conference in Yogyakarta on Sunday, October the 8th. According to Susi Susanti, the Indonesian junior athletes have great spirit to give their best for Indonesia, but she did not want to burden them.
Jadi memang mungkin pengalaman di AJC kemarin.
In Asia Junior Championship, we had the opportunity to be the Asian winner, but we did not have that fortune. We tried to make it a lesson and we hope to be much better in this Junior World Championship. So our target is at least we reach the semifinal so that the young athletes can fully concentrate one by one. We are trying not to overburden them, although all the athletes want to give their best for Indonesia. We certainly hope to achieve the best.
Jangan sampai mungkin membebani mereka juga, tapi tentunya dari semua, semangat semua dari atlet-atlet yang ingin memberikan yang terbaik untuk Indonesia. Tentunya kita berharap bisa peraih yang terbaik.
Susi Susanti further said, Indonesia has three leading categories in BWF Junior Championship 2017, namely women's single, women's double, and mixed double. Previously, Indonesia had beaten Spain to host the International Junior Class Badminton event. BWF Junior Championship 2017 is held at Among Rogo Stadium, Yogyakarta, on October 9 to 22, 2017. A transit-oriented development project will be constructed at Senen Railway Station in Central Jakarta, the third TOD or transit-oriented development project after construction began on several apartment towers at Tanjung Barat Station in South Jakarta and Pondok Cina Station in Depok, West Java. The project, the groundbreaking of which is scheduled to be held on November 10, will be jointly constructed by state-owned and construction company Wika Gedung and state-owned railway operator PT Kereta Api Indonesia KAI. PT Wika Finance Director Steve Kosasi said the project would be developed on the majority of 8.5-hectare plot of land owned by PT KAI. Steve said on Monday, October 9, that the company will develop the project on about 75% of the land, while the other 25% will be developed by private companies. Meanwhile, Wika Gedung Investment and Human Capital Director Nur Ilfalah said that for the first phase, his company would build three towers, one of which would be allocated for low-income families. Wika Gedung plans to hold an initial public offering or IPO, eyeing a turnover of 3 trillion rupiah or $222.17 million to finance the project. The last item. Aviation security, AFSEC officers at Soekarno-Hatta International Airport on Saturday foiled an attempt to smuggle more than 30,000 ornate rock lobster seeds. Angkasa Pura II General Manager M. Suryawan Wakan in a recent written statement said that security personnel found as many as 32,820 lobster seeds in a suitcase when it was checked through an X-ray machine. Two passengers identified as DA and PA reportedly packed the lobster seeds in plastic bags and put them in the suitcase. They both departed to Batam from Adi Sucipto Airport, Yogyakarta, on National Flag Carrier Garuda Indonesia flight number GA210. Suryawan said that the passengers were arrested when they were about to check in for a connecting flight to Batam at Soekarno-Hatta Airport. The passengers and the evidence were handed over to the Soekarno-Hatta Customs Service and Fish Quarantine Office for a follow-up investigation before being taken to the National Police's Criminal Investigation Department. Several lobster seed smuggling attempts have been foiled throughout the year, including an attempt to smuggle 208,756 lobster seeds inside 8 suitcases to Singapore in June, amounting to potential state losses of 31.3 billion rupiah. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian President Joko Widodo visits Police Academy in Semarang. Indonesian Finance Minister Sri Mulyani and a banker Julia Gao to be speakers at U.S. Indonesia Women CEO Summit. Al-Azhar University graduates called to spread moderate Islam. That was the news.
Listener, a commentary today entitled "Prior to 2019 Presidential Election." Indonesian presidential election 2019 is still a year away, but there has been business ahead of the election, at least in the office of the General Election Commission (KPU). Since Tuesday, 3rd October 2017 to Monday, 16th October 2017. The Commission has opened the registration of political parties participating in the election. This is the first stage of the 11 stages of election 2019 as regulated by Law No. 7/2017 on general election. As many as 30 of 73 political parties registered in the Ministry of Law and Human Rights had filled in their party's data on the Commission's political party information system. The 30 parties consist of 30 national political parties and 7 local parties in Aceh. In addition to the General Election Commission, KPU, other activities ahead of the 2019 presidential election are also seen in the Sepra Survey Institution that conducts survey on the electability of prospective president and vice president. A survey conducted by Indonesian Public Opinion Discussion and Review Group Kedai Kopi on 8 to 27 September 2017 was, for example. The study showed that 49.9% of respondents acknowledged that the vice presidential candidate has influenced them in choosing the presidential candidate, Meanwhile, 48.4% answered did not affect and the rest abstained. In addition to the figure of the vice president, the survey agency also asked President's choice if the election was held on the day the question was asked. The opinion polls conducted by Saiful Mujadi Research and Consulting, SMRC, shows that Joko Widodo obtained 38.9%, followed by Prabowo Subianto 12.0% and Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono 1.6%. Other names are still below 1%. Survey results do not necessarily show the real result of the upcoming presidential election, but at least it can be used as a reference, especially for political parties that will compete in the upcoming 2019 presidential election to conduct internal consolidation. The most important thing ahead of the 2019 presidential election is the presidential candidate and vice presidential candidate. The political parties supporting them can play honestly and elegantly in the election. What the country and the people of Indonesia need is an honest and fair leader who can represent all groups. Hopefully, the 2019 presidential election can run smoothly and Indonesia gets a leader who can bring Indonesia to better Indonesia. Listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back on our daily program Today in History over RRI Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Well, we start with an event which occurred on October 9, 1962 when Uganda gained its independence. Uganda is a landlocked country in East Africa. It is bordered to the east by Kenya, to the north by South Sudan, to the south by the Democratic Republic of Congo, to the southwest by Rwanda, and to the south by Tanzania. The southern part of the country includes a substantial portion of Lake Victoria, shared with Kenya and Tanzania. Uganda is in the African Great Lakes region. It also lies within the Nile Basin and has varied, but generally a modified equatorial climate. Uganda takes its name from Buganda Kingdom, which encompasses a large portion of south of the country, including the capital Kampala. The people of Uganda were hunter-gatherers until 1700 to 2300 years ago, when Bantu-speaking population migrated to the southern parts of the country. Beginning in 1894, the area was ruled as a protectorate by the British, who established administrative law across the territory. Uganda gained independence from Britain on 9 October 1962. The next event was in 1943 when Peter Simon passed away. Peter Simon was a Dutch physicist who shared the 1902 Nobel Prize in Physics with Hendrik Lorentz for his discovery of the Simon effect. After Simon passed the qualification exams in 1885, he studied physics at the University of Leiden under Gmelin Ons and Hendrik Lorentz. In 1890, even before finishing his thesis, he became Lorentz's assistant. This allowed him to participate in a research program on the Kurt effect. In 1893, he submitted his doctoral thesis on the Kurt effect, the reflection of polarized light on the magnetized surface. After obtaining his doctorate, he went for half a year to Frederick Constant Institute in Stanford. In 1895, after returning from Stanford, Simon became private docent in mathematics and physics in Leiden. The same year, he married Johanna Elizabeth Leppert. They have three daughters and one son. in 1896, 3 years after submitting his notice on the Kurt Ebert. He disobeyed the direct orders of his supervisor and used laboratory equipment to measure the splitting of spectral lines by a strong magnetic field. He was fired for his efforts, but he was later vindicated. He won the 1902 Nobel Prize in Physics for the discovery of what has now become known as the Zeeman effect. Zeeman passed away on 9 October 1943 in Amsterdam and was buried in Haarlem. And the last event was 1874, about World Post Day. World Post Day is celebrated each year on 9th October. The event was declared by the 1969 Universal Postal Congress in Tokyo, Japan as means to mark the anniversary of Universal Postal Union's UPU creation in 1874. The aim of the World Post Day is to bring awareness to the post's role in everyday lives of people and businesses, as well as its contribution to the global social and economic development. As a result, the UPU's member countries are encouraged to organize their own national activities to celebrate the event, including everything from the introduction or promotion of new postal products and services to the organization of open days at the post offices, mail centers, and postal museums. Listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Listener, welcome back with me here, Mana Rahmana, in Focus program. The title of today's Focus is Indonesia and Jordan Enhanced Cooperation of Counterterrorism. Listener, Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi held a Baltra meeting with Jordan Foreign Minister Ayman Safadi. In the Baltra meeting at the Jordan Minister of Foreign Affairs on last Wednesday, October 4, 2017, the two foreign ministers agreed to enhance cooperation in a bid to counter terrorism. Minister Retno, in a press conference at the Minister of Foreign Affairs in Jakarta last Thursday, October 5th, said that her side also agreed that the current challenge is the threat of regionalization of terrorist groups, on which some foreign terrorist fighters, FTF, leave the Middle East region. In the meeting, Minister Retno Marsudi remarked that the situation in Marawi in the Philippines is one example of the regionalization of terrorist groups. Meanwhile, Jordan is one of the countries whose citizens are victims because many of its citizens joined FTF. Therefore, the two ministers emphasized the importance of joint efforts through cooperation and partnership to tackle terrorism and radicalism. Minister Retno encouraged holding the discussion of the Memorandum of Understanding on Cooperation of Counterterrorism and Radicalism. Both ministers called the exchange of information intelligence, the prevention of funding for terrorism, the handling of FTF, the radicalization and interfaith dialogue programs, and capacity building as part of the scope of cooperation. Minister Retno Marsudi views that enhancing the capacity of security authorities against terrorism and radicalization is very important. Thus, he invited Jordan law enforcers to Jakarta Center for Law Enforcement Cooperation, JCLEC. In the meeting, Minister Retno Marsudi also expressed that many Islamic countries have not fully utilized their potential. Both Minister Retno and Safadi share their views, internal Islamic conflict as long as they limit them to advance their people. They also agree on the importance of enhancing bilateral cooperation with other Islamic countries to harness the common potential of the welfare of the people. Indonesia and Jordan are two countries where Islam, pluralism, and democracy go in hand. As a pluralist and moderate country, Jordan is a natural partner in voicing Islam Rahmatan Lil Alamin, which means a religion that brings grace and welfare to the whole universe. During the meeting, the two foreign ministers also discussed the development of the Palestinian situation. Minister Retno emphasized the importance to keep raising the issue of Palestinian independence on the agenda. The two foreign ministers agreed that there is no other solution in the settlement of the Palestinian issue except the two-state solution. Specifically, Jordan Foreign Minister Ayman Safadi expressed his appreciation for Indonesia's commitment in fighting and seeking solution to the challenges faced by the Palestinians, including the tragedy at Al-Aqsa Mosque. The diplomatic relations between Indonesia and Jordan has begun since 1950. The Indonesian embassy in Amman, Jordan, has been open since 1985. Meanwhile, Jordan opened its embassy in Jakarta in November 1986. Listener, that's our focus today. Thanks for listening.
Listener, welcome to News in Brief. Indonesian President Joko Widodo visited the campus of the Police Academy in Semarang on Monday to offer directives to students. The visit was Joko Widodo's first agenda while on a working visit to Central Java, Bey Mahmudin, spokesman of the president, revealed. President Joko Widodo said, "A huge global change has taken place in the field of information technology." Indonesian Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati, along with Julia Gao, one of the world's notable bankers born in Surabaya, will be the speakers of the U.S.-Indonesia Women CEO Summit, scheduled in Washington, D.C. on October 11. This information was revealed in an official written statement received by Antara News Agency. 260 Al-Azhar University students from 10 countries, including 148 Indonesian students, were graduated at Azhar Convention Center, Cairo, on Sunday. They consisted of graduates and postgraduates. Indonesian state-owned Angkasa Pura II is building infrastructure projects to support the Improvement Runway Capacity, or IRC-86 agenda at Soekarno-Hatta Airport. For said purpose, the company is allocating a budget of 625 billion rupiah. Indonesia was targeting to reach semi-final in the Badminton World Federation Junior Championship 2017. According to Susi Susanti, the team manager, the Indonesian junior athletes have great spirit to give their best for Indonesia, but she did not want to burden them. A transit-oriented development thought project will be constructed at Senen Railway Station in Central Jakarta, the third transit-oriented development project after construction began on several apartment towers at Tanjung Barat Station in South Jakarta and Pondok Cina Station in Depok, West Java. Aviation security officers at Soekarno-Hatta International Airport on Saturday foiled an attempt to smuggle more than 30,000 owned rock lobster seeds. Angkasa Pura II General Manager M. Suryawan Wakan, in a recent written statement, said that security personnel found as many as 32,820 lobster seeds in a suitcase when it was checked through an X-ray machine. Listener, that was News in Brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequencies of 95 to 5 kHz. You can also listen to our audio streaming at english.rriworldservice.com. Listener, our next segment is Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Bagidur Beach in Banten, so stay tuned. This listeners, Banten is one of Indonesian provinces which directly borders in the west with Sunda Straits and Indian Ocean in the south. Its location has made Banten be well known as marine city since in the past. Besides, Banten is awarded a beautiful beach row. One of them is Bagedur Beach. Comparing other beaches in Banten, Bagedur Beach still deserves being visited. Because of that, the beach is convenient for tourists who want a calm place. Listeners, Bagedur Beach is located at Sukamanah Village, Malimping Sub-District, Lebak Regency. It can be accessed from Jakarta via Tangerang Merak Toll Road. The distance of Bagedur from Jakarta is around 200 kilometers and it takes around 6 hours. The distance from Serang, the capital city of Banten, is around 130 kilometers by traveling time 4.5 hours. Every tourist who enters the beach will be charged 2,000 rupiah, motorcycle 5,000 rupiah, and car 25,000 rupiah. Listeners, Bagedur Beach has white sand and medium wave. Various kinds of trees grow loose and shade around the beach. The interest of the beach is conditioned, which has 10 kilometers long and 50 meters wide. In addition, the beach is so deep and its sand is quite dense, so the beach can be explored by motor vehicles. The beach is often used for a place for motor rally. If you drive your own car, you can park it at the edge of the beach while enjoying the wave of the southern beach. Listeners, with wide expanse of sand, the beach can be used to play volleyball, football, or many others. The beach, which is without coral, is also interesting to swim. As tourism location, Bagedur has lodging facilities such as cottage. Besides, around the beach, there is stall which sells various sea food such as roasted fish, squid, and many others with relatively cheap price. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Bagedur Beach in Banten Province. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. Today's topic is membeli hadiah, or in English, buying a gift, stagent. First, I'll introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Membeli. Membeli in English, to buy. Hadiah. Hadiah in English, gift. Hari ini, hari ini in English today. Menemani. Menemani in English to accompany. Pergi. Pergi in English to go. Berbelanja. Berbelanja in English to shop. Apa. Apa in English what. Teman. Teman in English friend. Saya. Saya in English I. Menurut. Menurut in English to follow. Kamu. Kamu in English you. Bagus. Bagus in English good. Laki-laki. Laki-laki in English man. Perempuan. Perempuan in English woman. Minyak wangi. Minyak wangi in English perfume. Bantu. Bantu in English to help. Pilih. Pilih in English to choose. Sekarang. Sekarang in English now. Next is a conversation about membeli hadiah, or in English, buying a gift. As usual, I'll say every sentence slowly twice and you can follow after me. The conversation is between A. Nita and B. Ani at the office. A. Ani, hari ini apakah kamu dapat menemani saya pergi berbelanja? Ani, hari ini apakah kamu dapat menerima saya pergi berbelanja? In English, Ani, can you accompany me for shopping today? B. Ani, kamu mau membeli apa? Kamu mau membeli apa? In English, what do you want to buy? A. Nita, saya ingin membelikan hadiah untuk teman saya. Saya ingin membelikan hadiah untuk teman saya. In English, I want to buy a gift for my friend. Menurut kamu, hadiah apa yang bagus? Menurut kamu, hadiah apa yang bagus? In English, what do you think about the gift? B. Ani, teman kamu laki-laki atau perempuan? Teman kamu laki-laki atau perempuan? In English, your friend is a man or woman. Nita, teman saya perempuan. Teman saya perempuan. In English, my friend is a woman. Ani, bagaimana kalau kamu memberi minyak wangi? Bagaimana kalau kamu memberi minyak wangi? In English, I think perfume is better for your friend. Nita, baiklah, tapi kamu bantu pilihkan ya. Baiklah, tapi kamu bantu pilihkan ya. In English, alright, but you should help me to choose it. Ani, baiklah, mari kita pergi sekarang. Baiklah, mari kita pergi sekarang. In English, okay, let's go now. That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Until tomorrow with other topics, sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia wherever you are. Welcome back to the regular Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. We initiate this segment of Music Corner with a keroncong song by an Indonesian keroncong legendary gesang entitled Bengawan Solo.
riwayatmu ini. Sadari dulu jadi perhatian
The song Bengawan Solo is a song that was composed by Gesang. This song has raised his name in the music scene, not only in Indonesia but also in other countries such as Japan. The song Bengawan Solo has been translated into various foreign languages such as English, Russian, Chinese, and Japanese. The song was composed in 1940 when Gesang was 23 years old. The young Gesang was sitting on the edge of Bengawan Solo River. His admiration for the river inspired him to create a song, which takes about 6 months. This song also brought him to reach the title as Maestro Kroncong Indonesia. The song Tanah Air that you've just listened tells about the natural beauty of Indonesia. Like the towering mountains, winding rivers flowing, verdant forest, and the vast of rice field, Tuti Trisedia was dedicated this song well with the accompaniment of kroncong music. Tuti Trisedia was born in Makassar, South Sulawesi on October 8, 1956. But she spent her teenage years in West Java and finished high school in the city of Bandung. While studying at the UPN Veteran Faculty of Law, Jakarta, Tuti obtained a number of achievements, such as she was elected to represent Indonesian students on the Indonesia-Canada World Youth Exchange Program in 1975. In the singing and music industry, she became too popular since she won the radio and television singing contest in 1986 for Kroncong category. Previously, Tuti also won another Kroncong singing competition jointly held by Jakarta Regional Government and the Navy in 1983. Well, listener, we conclude today's music corner with a Kroncong song entitled Solo di Waktu Malam by another Kroncong female singer, Sri Widadi. Enjoy the song and see you in the next edition of Music Corner.
Because you're full of faith. There's no doubt evil dwells in the souls of all those, of all those full of prejudice.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.